From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. BP says it's now collecting more than a fifth of the oil flowing into the Gulf of Mexico from that damaged well off Louisiana. Chief Operating Officer Doug Suttles tells NBC the mile-long tube connected to a tanker ship on the surface is capturing more than 1,000 barrels of oil per day.
This is just containing the flow. Later this week, hopefully before the end of the week, we'll make our next attempt to actually fully stop the flow. Of course, that's what everyone wants to do.
Oil has been flowing into the Gulf for about a month since a platform explosion and fire that killed 11 workers. Iran says it has a deal in hand to send some of its enriched uranium abroad in return for more highly enriched nuclear fuel for a research reactor. The agreement was made with Turkey with the help of Brazil acting as a mediator. The BBC's Jonathan Head reports Iran is hoping this will help resolve disputes over its nuclear program.
Turkey and Brazil have been trying to hammer out a deal on Iran's nuclear program for weeks. Up until this weekend, say Turkish officials, Iran had offered nothing. But after a last-minute dash to Tehran by the Turkish foreign minister on Saturday, they've come up with a compromise that all three countries hope will persuade the UN Security Council not to impose a fourth round of sanctions against Iran. The deal requires Iran to transfer 1,200 kilos of enriched uranium within a month to Turkey for storage. In return, Iran will receive a smaller quantity of the higher-grade uranium it says it needs for medical uses.
The BBC's Jonathan Head. NATO is getting its first conceptual makeover in 11 years. As Terry Schultz reports from Brussels, the recommendations for reform of the military alliance were compiled by an expert group led by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright.
Albright's group spent 8 months deep in discussion with NATO member states, other governments, think tanks, universities, and the public to find out how today's defense needs are different from 1999. The threats are so much more complicated now, Albright says, that while NATO must continue to put first its obligation to protect its 28 members, overall security requires a much broader commitment, and not always a military one.
Thus, NATO should consider the possibility, when resources are sufficient and legal authority is clear, of helping the world respond to catastrophic emergencies, whether caused by nature or by human beings.
At the same time, the recommendations warn that NATO shouldn't try to be everywhere and must develop clearer criteria for deciding where and when to get involved. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Senate Republicans say there are no plans to filibuster President Obama's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. Arizona Senator John Kyle, the Senate GOP whip, says he doesn't expect a GOP effort to filibuster Elena Kagan. Kyle says that's something used in extreme circumstances, and he doesn't believe Kagan represents that. Kyle is also a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is NPR News from Washington. Today is the last day that hundreds of thousands of small nonprofits in the U.S. can file a federal tax form. Otherwise, NPR's Pam Fessler reports they could lose their tax-exempt status.
The deadline is midnight tonight for many nonprofits to file the short form with the IRS. Charities and other nonprofits with revenues of $25,000 or less were only required to start filing the form 3 years ago. It was part of a new pension law that also said if the form isn't filed for 3 years in a row, the nonprofit's tax exemption will be revoked immediately. The problem is that many small nonprofits are unaware of the new law, and advocacy groups fear more than 200,000 could miss the deadline. Although no one really knows, many small nonprofits on the government's list might no longer be active. One purpose of the new law is to find out exactly how many nonprofits there are in the U.S. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.
In Afghanistan, more than 40 people are feared dead after the crash of a passenger plane north of Kabul. The domestic flight was heading over the mountains to the airport there when it went down about 60 miles from the capital in what was said to be snowy weather. NATO is sending helicopters to help with search efforts. The FAA is investigating what sparked a fire in the cockpit of a United Airlines flight, which was forced to make an emergency landing last night outside Washington, D.C. The Boeing 757 diverted to Dulles International Airport, where it landed safely with 112 people aboard. The flight was en route to Los Angeles from New York's JFK Airport. One passenger told the AP that about 30 minutes into the flight, it smelled like something electrical was burning on that plane. I'm Dave Mattingly, NPR News, in Washington.